我们先来看一段圣经的经文。
Let's turn to a Bible passage.
我们请来看提摩太前书第三章十六节。
Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16.
提摩太前书第三章请看十六节。
1 Timothy chapter 3, let us read verse 16.
大在敬虔的奥秘，无人不以为然，就是神在肉身显现，被圣灵称义，被天使看见，被传于外邦，被世人信服，被接在荣耀里。
And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory.
那么在这一次的灵恩会当中我们教会定给我的主题叫敬虔。
So for the spiritual convocation, the topic that the church has assigned me with is godliness.
所以小弟就用这一节的经文那么取的四个重点来在这一次的灵恩会当中，那么跟大家一起来做分享。
So we'll use four points from this passage as encouragement for us all during this spiritual convocation.
那么十六节这里所提到的就是说非常伟大的讯息。
So the message delivered here in verse 16 is great.
那这个非常伟大的讯息呢是毋庸置疑的，不必要去怀疑的，就是这样子。
And this great message is without controversy and does not lend itself to doubt.
那么就谈到了这个敬虔的奥秘。
And it talks about the mystery of godliness.
那我去看了一下敬虔到底它是什么意思呢？
So I took it upon myself to research what godliness meant.
那么敬虔就是说一个人能够虔诚的来拜神。
So godliness means that one would come to worship a God with godliness.
这个是他的原文字义了。
So this is what the original text meant.
那什么叫做奥秘呢？
So what is a mystery?
他的原文就是说超乎正常理解的那么一个事实。
So it's a fact that's extraordinary and surpasses a normal understanding, a fact.
那么或者叫属神在灵里面的一种秘密。
And that is a mystery that is of God and it's in the Spirit.
那我们要了解我们一般谈到敬虔，我们大概想的就是说我们在生活上应当怎么样敬虔的来敬畏神。
So normally when we think of godliness, it relates to our behavior and attitude towards how we worship God. Okay.
但是我想先从这段经文里面来让我们先认识天上这位神，那么他的秘密他的属灵里面的一个奥秘。
But from this passage, I would like to first discuss what the nature of our God and his mystery.
那当我们了解了神他灵里面的这一种超乎一个人的正常的理性能够了解的事情之后。
So once we have understood what our God is capable of in the to do in the spirit and which surpasses our understanding.
那我们再从其中来想，那在这样子的原则，这样子的一个神的状况之下，认识神的状况之下，那么我们应当如何来敬畏神？
And so based on these principles, and once we come to know our God better, we can then derive how we should actually worship God.
所以我今天第一节先跟大家用一开始这段经文所提到的叫做神在肉身显现。
So firstly, I would like to discuss the point mentioned in this passage, which is God was manifested in the flesh.
我们来看约翰福音第一章。
Let us turn to John chapter 1.
约翰福音第一章第一节。
John chapter 1 verse 1.
约翰福音第一章第一节。
John chapter 1 verse 1.
好，太初有道，道与神同在，道就是神。
In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God.
这道太初与神同在。
In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God.
好，那我们跳过来看这个十四节。
Now let's jump to verse 14.
道成了肉身，住在我们中间。充充满满的有恩典有真理。
And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
好，再跳过来是七节的下半节。
Next, let's look at the second half of verse 17.
恩典和真理都是由耶稣基督来的。
The grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
好，那么第一节里面提到的太初是什么意思呢？
So what is the meaning of in the beginning in verse 1?
那么他的意思就是说这个世界还没有被创造之前那样子的一种状态。
So it refers to the situation where the world had, as we know, it has yet to be created.
那么就好像创世纪第一章第二节所提到的。
It is just as is mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2.
说在起初神创造天地的时候啊，
So when in the beginning when God created heavens and the earth.
那么这个地呢是空虚混沌渊面黑暗。
So the earth was without form and void and darkness was on the face of the deep.
所以太初的意思就是这个天地神还没有创造之前的那样子一种状态。
So in the beginning refers to the fact that God had yet to create the world.
好，那在这种状态之下，我们约翰福音第一章第一节就提到说有道，太初有道。
And in this setting, in John chapter 1 verse 1, it mentioned the existence of the word.
好，那下半节就提到说，那这个道就是神啊。
And in the next half of the verse, it mentions that the word was God.
我们的神在做自我介绍的时候，他从一个，从一个很奇妙的角度来入手做自我的介绍。
So when our God introduces himself to us, he starts and begins from this very mysterious angle.
就是从外围他的作为，然后绕进来中心点叫做神。
So he starts from everything that is around him and slowly circles in towards the center, which is himself, God.
我先不讲这个人的名字，我讲他的事迹。
So I'll not mention his name first, but I'll mention...
那大家猜猜看这个人是谁。
So I mentioned things that relate to him, and we can all have a guess as to who this person is.
请问哈，我们这个世界上哈，那个经典光学的始祖是谁？经典光学知道吗？什么换？经圣经的经，典故的典啊。
Oh,
就是说那个光学最原始、最原始刚起步的那一个发现者了。
So in the principal theory of light, where does this come from, originate from?
那后来这个经典光学经过我们后人在这个思考然后运用到我们的生活里面。
So based on these theories about light or understanding about light, 我们就, humans have thought about this and applied this to our lives.
我们就造出了很多有用的东西哦，比如说眼镜。
And from this we have created many useful things such as spectacles.
放大镜、望远镜。这个叫做光学的实用科学的一个产品。
So this is how we, in practice, we apply the theory of light.
好，那请问经典光学的创始者是谁？
So who was the inventor of this theory of light?
不知道哈。好，我再讲他另外一个事迹哈。
So I'll mention something else about him.
我们今天在人类的数学上哈，有一种比较高深的数学是大学才会念的，叫微积分哈。
So in the field of mathematics, there's a more advanced branch of it called differentiation or algebra.
那请问微积分的创始者是谁
？So who invented calculus?
晓不晓得
？Do we know?
不知道。好，我再讲哈。我在讲哈，我在外面绕嘛，我现在都在绕。我没有讲这个人是谁哦，我现在外面绕。
So we're still in the outskirts.
这个人哈，他发现的这个什么，这个我们生活当中所谓的三大运动定律。
So man has discovered the three laws of motion.
有没有？第一个叫惯性定律，我不解释它的内容了哈。
So it's the first law of motion.
那第二个叫加速度定律。
And the motion of
那第三个叫反作用定律
，and the law of action and reaction。
哇，这个是物理学里面非常重要的三大运动定律啊，永远不会改变的定理啊， so、好像真理一样啊，在这个物质界里面。
So in the physical world, these three laws of motions are constant and not changeable.
请问这个人是谁
？So who was the person who invented this?
啊，还不知道哦，完蛋了，我在讲哈。这个人发现的万有引力。
So man has also discovered gravity.
这个人是谁？英国人嘛，对不对？ 这个我去查书要1643年出生的嘛，他的名字叫什么，叫埃塞克牛顿嘛。
So in fact,
这个都是 他去弄出来的啦。
So in fact, all of this was discovered by a British man called Isaac Newton.
那我不讲牛顿，但是我讲这些大概很多人才会到啊，传道你就是讲牛顿嘛，就是牛顿嘛。
So even though I had not said that, you probably thought of Newton in your head all this while.
那我们的神也是这样，他说道就是神，我解释这个道是什么意思。
So in the passage we have just read, it says that the word was God, so I'll now explain what this means.
这个道就带它的这个意思就是说指的是神的智慧。
So this word refers to the wisdom of God.
那么神的理性。
And the rationality of God.
那么也是神的公义。
And also God's justice.
那也是这个我们要认识的这个万物的根源啊，渊源的那一位。
And it is also the one who we should recognize as the source of all things.
那么他所讲的话，他所讲的话是带着权柄，也带着执行力。
So what he says has great power. All that he says has great power and authority.
所以你看《创世纪》第一章的第三节，
So when we read Genesis chapter 1,
因为这个道就是指着神呐，神的属性呐。
Because this word refers to God and its nature.
那神的言语呢？神所说的话就带着神的权柄，也带着神的执行力在里面。
And of course, His word carries His power and His authority.
所以创世纪一章三节，你看到我们的神在创造天地万物的时候。
So in verse 3, we see our God creating all heavens and earth.
我们的神都是用嘴巴说，神说要有光，就有光。
And he did so using speech, and he said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
从第一天到第六天，都是用说的，第六节神说，那么第九节神说，每一天都是神说了，神说事情就这样成立了，成就了。
And all things were created by God saying something. For example, in verse 6, then God said. Verse 9, then God said.
所以我们从神他所说的言语所带来的权柄跟带来的执行力。
So from the power and authority that comes from God's word.
那我们就能够去了解我们这个神到底他多么的有智慧。
So we can appreciate how wise our God is.
我们这一位神他是带着一个这个有创造能力这样子的一个属性。然后我们看到约翰福音1章14节。
So we see that our God has the ability to create, and in John chapter 1 verse 14,
说这一位这么 有能力的透过他的语言就能够创造天地万物的这一位所谓的神呢，他现在成为肉体的样式来了。
And this God who was able to create all heavens and earth using just words, became flesh and dwelt among us.
所以当这一位神来的时候，他带来的两样东西。
And when this God came to this world, he brought two things with him.
那么一个叫做生活的恩典。
First is the grace of life.
所以当这位神来到这个世界的时候，他能够医病赶鬼，带给我们生活当中有平安。
So when he came to this world, he was able to heal sicknesses and cast out demons and give us peace in our life.
那这位神他也带来的真理，永远不会改变，就是天地废掉神所说的话，永远都不会废掉的永恒不更改的神的话。
So secondly, he also brought forth the truth, which is unchanging, regardless of what happens to the universe.
那这个指的是我们生命救赎的引导啊，生命救赎的道路啊。
So this is our guidance and path in our life of salvation.
所以我们今天灵魂要得救，就是靠着这一本圣经神真理的引导。
So if we wish for our souls to be saved, it should be based on what has been written in this book.
好，那么到了十七节就讲到，那这样子的恩典，这样子的真理是谁，由谁来的呢？
So in verse 17, it tells us from whom this grace and truth came.
说一个叫做耶稣基督，由他那边所产生出来的。
And this came through a person called Jesus Christ.
所以换句话说，这个道啦，因为道就是神嘛，那我在介绍的这一位神，他叫做耶稣嘛。
So of course, because the word was God, then naturally, the name of this God is Jesus.
所以我们说道成肉身，就是眼睛看不到，但是他非常有智慧，非常有权柄，非常有言语，非常有执行力的这一位神，他的名字就叫做耶稣。
So when he manifested in flesh, this God that has this ability to create with great power, great authority, and great wisdom, his name is called Jesus.
那我们还可以从另外一个角度来认识这一位道成肉身的神。
So we can come to know this God that who manifested in the flesh from another way.
我们来请看彼得后书的第一章。
So let us turn to 2 Peter chapter 1.
彼得后书第一章，请看十九节。
2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19.
彼得后书一章十九节。
2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19.
我们并有先知更明确的预言，如同灯照在暗处。你们在这预言上留意，只等到天发亮，晨星在你们心里出现的时候才是好的。
And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts.
那么再根据启示录二十二章的十六节。
So if you look at Revelation chapter 22, verse 6.
那么这个地方记载说，耶稣他自己证明说，我就是那个明亮的晨星。
So here it records that Jesus himself proclaims himself to be this bright morning star.
所以彼得后书一章的十九节。
So in 2 Peter...
彼得后书一章十九节。
2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19.
我们的神告诉我们说，如果我们要认识耶稣基督哈。
So if we want to know, come to know Jesus Christ.
这一位道成肉身的神。
This God who manifested himself in the flesh.
我们可以从旧约的先知所说的预言的方向导向来认识他。
So we can come to know him through the direction given by the prophetic word in the Old Testament.
那先知透过神的感动所说出来有关耶稣基督降生的预言。
So through the moving of the Holy Spirit, the prophets spoke about the birth of Jesus Christ.
他第一个特质就是说，他要非常明确，不能够模棱两可。
So the first thing that mentions that his coming will be clear and it's not, does not lend itself to doubt.
我们在台湾，台湾有一种神，在新化，台湾的新化这个地区，他叫一组禅师，一个手指头的这个禅师，一组禅师。
So there's a god in this region in Taiwan called Xinhua that is called One Finger Silkworm.
那他怎么能够成为一个神，让大家去膜拜他呢？
So how does it make people come to worship?
那么相传是在中国的这个宋朝的时代。
So during the Song Dynasty in China.
那么有三个读书人那么要到京城去参加国家的考试上京赴考了。
So there were three scholars who went to the capital to sit examinations.
那这三个人他们在路上遇到一个修道的高僧。
And on the way, they met a monk.
所以他们都非常的期待他们这一次到京城参加考试到底结果会是怎么样。
So they were greatly anticipating what the results from these exams were.
那看到一个修道的高僧在路旁，所以他们非常有礼貌的去请教他。
So they met this monk on the way, so they went to ask him about it.
可不可以帮我们卜个卦，让我们了解说我们这次考试的结果会是怎么样呢？
Could you make some predictions for us so that we would know what our results would be?
那这个高僧后来只给一个手势，叫这样。
And this monk only gave one hand gesture, which was one finger, as such.
那三个人看了，懂了，懂了。
And so these three scholars looked at it and they said, okay, we get it now.
那是什么意思？
So what does this mean?
一个人考上，可以解释吗？
So,
只有一个人考得上啊，三个只有一个考得上啊。
So only one person would pass the examination.
一个人考不上，可以解释吗？
So one person wouldn't make it.
一起考上，可以吗？
So would they all make it together?
在一起考不上，可以吗？
Or would they all not make it together?
那三个人考试就做四种情况啊，会有第五种情况吗？没有啦。
So for the situation where there were only three of them, there was only these four possible scenarios.
那 后来是一个人考上，就是那个人想的，后来他就建了庙去供奉他了，所以就变成大家膜拜的对象。
So it is said that this one person who made it decided to worship this.
那这个叫做模棱两可的，怎么也可以这样，怎么也可以那样。
So it lends itself to many possibilities. So how could this be?
我们在这一节经文里面看到说，哈啊，有关于这个道成肉身的耶稣基督，这个明亮的晨星，哈，是先知很明确的预言哦，不会模棱两可，非常非常的明确。
So regarding this God who manifested in the flesh, who is the bright morning star.
那这个耶稣基督的降生第二个特点是什么呢？
So this passage tells us that he's very definite. So what is the second point?
我们在这段经文提到说，哈，你们要在这预言上留意，只等到天发亮。好，那这个就是要有时间的印证。
So here it says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light. So it means that we have to wait.
我也可以当先知，大家信不信？
So do you believe that I can also be a prophet?
Hello.等一下，这边嘴巴会被打哦。五秒钟之后，信不信？我不晓得他信不信哈、哦。哎，我可以掌控的嘛，对不对？那哦，五秒钟是未来的事情啊。
So 5 seconds is a point in time in the future.、哦、
但是是我在可以掌控的范围之内啊。那这个叫做什么？这个叫做作弄人家啦，哪里什么先知骗人的啦
？So it is within my control. So in fact, I'm not a prophet.
最好我说的
So it is best to be clear about
things. 但我不会去操控它，我也没有能力去掌控它，必须要有时间来证明我讲这个是出自于天上的神。
So it should not be able to be manipulated over time. So it confirms that the person I'm referring to is the God in heaven.
好，那所以我们现在就从先知预言的角度来跟大家分享几点，道成肉身它是多么的奇妙。
So we will now talk about a few points from the prophetic word about how mysterious this manifestation in flesh is.
我们先第一点先来谈一谈哈这个神的名字。
So firstly, let us discuss the name of God.
我们来看马太福音第一章。
So let us turn to Matthew chapter 1.
马太福音第一章请看这个21节。
Matthew chapter 1, verse 21.
那么这段经文提到的天上这位神耶稣他要降生那么来到了这个地面。
So this passage talks about how Jesus was come to this earth.
那这位神他要来降生的时候，天使就指示的这个约瑟就是耶稣肉身的父亲。
So when he came to this world, the angels instructed his father Joseph.
21节说他将要生一个儿子，你要给他起名叫耶稣。
And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus.
那这件事情呢，是有先知曾经做过预言的。
And in fact, this event had been prophesied by the prophets.
所以你继续往下看，看到22节、23节。
So we continue to read verses 22 and 23.
你就可以看到说那这件事情的这个成就是要应验22节说要应验主借着先知所说的话。
So verse 22 tells us that so all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord.
如果以名字的23节如果以名字的角度说他的人要称他的名为以马内利。
And verse 23, in regards to his name, they shall call his name Emmanuel.
那你如果回到这个说预言的这个先知到底是谁呢？
So who was the prophet who prophesied?
就是以赛亚先知。
It's prophet Isaiah.
在以赛亚书第七章的14节。
So in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14.
我们的神已经借着以赛亚先知那么说过的一个他将来要降生来到世上的一个预言。
So God through the prophet Isaiah prophesied about this one who will come down to earth.
所以在以赛亚书七章十四节说这个神降生来到世界，他的名字要叫以马内利。
And in verse 14, it tells us that the Son who is to come to this world, his name shall be called Emmanuel.
那我们一定会想，那这个预言没有兑现啊。
But we might think that there's no corroboration for this prophecy.
这个是耶稣基督降生之前800年左右，我们的神就已经讲好的一个事实。 So, 一个预言啊,
so this prophecy happened about 800 years before the birth of Jesus Christ.
那经过了800年时间的印证之后,
so after 800 years and this prophecy was fulfilled.
那现在非常准确的在新约耶稣基督降生的时候, 马太福音的作者就把这一段预言拿出来说了。
And that after 800 years, after the prophecy has been fulfilled, then the author of Matthew brought this.
我等一下再做解释,
and I'll explain this later.
所以你会发现, 这个以赛亚书, 以赛亚书他的这个时代背景是亚述帝国的时代。
So the book of Isaiah was written during the Assyrian period.
那马太福音的作者是马太, 他的时代背景是罗马帝国的时代。
And the author of the Gospel of Matthew was Matthew, and during the Roman era.
那以赛亚是皇宫里面听说了，教会历史上说他是乌西亚王的表弟了，是皇宫里面的贵族。So
according to the Bible, the prophet Isaiah was a cousin of the king Uzziah. So he was an elite.
那这个马太呢，他是税吏，坐在税关上面，做不法利益收入的一个大家很讨厌的人，后来被耶稣拣选了。
And Matthew was in fact a tax collector who had many illicit incomes. And
那我们可以了解，生长的时代背景不一样。
So we can see that the backgrounds in which they grew up were quite different.
那么受的教育体系也不一样。
And the education that they received was very
different. 那他们生活当中的观念也不一样。
And their values in life were very different.
他们的文化背景也不一样。
Their cultural backgrounds were very different.
那又经过了800年。
So after 800 years.
你会发现很奇妙的, 我们的神就把这件事情经过800年之后把它连接起来, 借两个不同时代的人。
So God, through these two different characters in two different eras, fulfill this prophecy by joining these two statements together.
那换句话说, 我们的神还没有来到这个世界的800年前, 他为他自己取了名字了。
So that is to say that God, 800 years before he came to this earth, he had already given a name to himself.
我们在座有谁的名字是自己取的? 有没有?
So for sitting here, who picked our names?
廖家轩名字是自己取的。 那就稀罕了，回去要问问你爸爸，那么厉害，你儿子，你儿出生就会说我叫廖家轩了，不可能，这个都是神的能力，都是神的作为。So
in fact, this is all God's mysterious work.
那现在我来解释，旧约叫以马内利，新约叫耶稣，你会说，那这个差别是在哪里？
So in the Old Testament, the name given was Emmanuel, but in the New Testament, it was Jesus. So what's the difference?
以马内利的意思就是神来这个世界跟我们同在了，住在一起了。So
the word Emmanuel means that God abides with us.
那这个耶稣就是神的使者，耶和华真神差派来的使者来跟我们住在一起的。耶稣的意思。
Oh, so Jesus means the
神耶和华真神所差派的使者。
So it's the messenger that's sent by the Lord God.
那么他来到树上要跟我们一起生活。
So he's come to this world to live among us.
那21节的下半节说, 这个耶稣呢, 要把自己的百姓从罪恶里面救出来。
So in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the latter half, it says that he will save his people from their sins.
以马内利的意思跟耶稣的意思是一样的。我说他的意思是一样的。
So in fact, the names Emmanuel and Jesus are the same.
以赛亚书是用希伯来文写的。
And Emmanuel was written in Hebrew.
那希伯来文的神的名字，这个都是翻译名字，叫以马内利，用中文叫做以马内利。So 翻译出来的声音的这个中文的文字了。So
in fact, it's a transliteration of in Chinese from Hebrew.
那这个马太福音是用希腊文所写的。
And Matthew was written in Greek.
所以这个耶稣，希腊文的耶稣翻译出来，那就是我们现在中文所看到的这两个字，文字的一个翻译，是声音翻译过来的文字。
Again, so the name Jesus is in fact a transliteration from Greek.
所以这个语言的这个写作的背景不一样，所以翻译出来的文字也不一样，但它的意思是一样的。
Because the texts were written in different languages, so they have different names, but in fact, their meaning is the same.
我这样做解释了哈。
是的，
比如说在我们生活当中哈，有一次我第一次哈被差派啊，那么到这个马来西亚这个国家去协助圣工的时候。
So once I was sent to Malaysia to help assist with the holy works there.
那我们教会有一个信徒，他说：“哎，传道，听说你要去马来西亚哈？”我说：“是啊。”
So there was a brethren in church who came to me asking me from Malaysia.
我教你讲一句话，你到马来西亚，你无论碰到谁，无论碰到你认识的不认识的，你这句话讲就对了啦。
So I'll teach you this phrase that no matter who you say it to, it will be correct.
我说我所认识的万国的语言叫哈利路亚了，讲这句话一定对了，他外邦人听不懂啦。
So I told him that if I just said Hallelujah, everyone in the world will understand.
所以我就很好奇说，那到底是哪一句话
？So I was curious as to what this phrase was.
叫多利马卡西。
It's called 多利马卡西。
叫有这句话哈，叫多利马卡西是吗？那这句话哈，我一听我说，因为这句话它的这个中文的意思就是说我躺下来骂你呀，骂到死我都要骂你呀。叫多勒马嘎西啊！我躺下来骂你，骂到死了，骂到我死为止了。
So in Chinese it means that even if you are lying down, I'll scold you until you die.
那你看多勒马嘎西，你用中文去把它写出来，就是躺着骂到死啊。
So in Chinese it means that
我说我刚开始不了解说，那这就是什么意思？怎么我们可以去说我恨你恨到躺着也骂你骂到死？怎么会这样呢？怎么会这样子呢？
So I said to myself, how could you say,
他说传道你放心哈，这个叫做谢谢 ，Thank you， 是不是？是这样子的意思是吗？马来话，你看用中文翻译，我们那里晓得这个叫做谢谢，是不是
？So if we to use Chinese to directly translate this Malay word, how would we know what the meaning was?
OK， 那如果是韩国话呢？韩国的谢谢怎么说
？So how do you say?
我们在座有人会吗？我记这个都很好记哈、哦。他的原来韩国话叫甘蔗哈密达，那我们就叫甘蔗哈密瓜。那我们中文去记，我碰到韩国人就甘蔗哈密瓜，他还说甘蔗哈密达，我们发音不准没有关系嘛，对不对？那意思是不是一样呢？不同的国家、不同的语言系统出来的文字，发音出来的文字就不一样哦。
So of course, different countries have different languages, and hence different pronunciations for different words.
那如果是日本话呢
？So what is it in Japanese?
ありがとうございます，是不是日本话哈？ありがとうございます。那我们中国话去翻译出来就是“牙医啊，邓多啊，无彩人的家属”，懂意思吗？拿椅子去砸桌子，然后浪费大家的瓦斯啊。他的意思是这样子的。用文字去把它叙述出来了哈，那你会发现文字都不一样，但是它的意思呢，全部都一样。
So because the text is all different, then the meaning is completely different.
所以以马内利哈跟耶稣哈，虽然用中文的文字去看，它的字眼是不一样的。
So even though in Chinese you might seem that Emmanuel,
但是它所代表的意思都是一样。就是这个神他已经成为肉身，他来这个世界跟我们同在了，住在一起了。
But the meaning is the same. It means that God has come to dwell among us and abide.
而且呢，要把我们从罪恶当中拯救出来。
And He is to come to save us from our sins.
所以天上这个神哈，这个没有形象以灵状态存在的神，八百年前时间还没有到，他就讲好了，将来我有肉身的样式显现，那我的名字就叫耶稣。
So this God in heaven who had no form and only existed in spirit 800 years prior to that had prophesied that he would come down as flesh and that his name would be called Jesus.
这个在所有人类的世界当中是唯一的，没有第二个。没有人说我还没有来到世界几百年前我就知道我叫什么名字的，只有神才有办法，只有神才可以。
So in the entire history of the world, it is only this one person.Who can say 800 years before what his name would be?
所以我们就会非常确认啊，原来我们所敬拜的这一位神，他只是带着肉体的神，但是他的名字呢，是我们创造世界之前的那一位没有形象的神，他早就已经命定好的。
So we can be sure that this God in heaven that we worship was in fact the God who came manifested in flesh and who created the heavens and the earth.
我再讲第二个，好，分享第二个重点哈。
Secondly,
我们来看马太福音第二章。
Let us turn to Matthew chapter 2.
从第一节到第六节的这段经文。
From verses 1 to 6.
当天上这位神耶稣基督他要降生来到这个世界的时候。
So when our God Jesus Christ was about to come to this world.
你看当时犹太分封的叙利王他非常紧张，因为他听到的这个风声，犹太人讲说一个王要来了，有一个王要来了。
And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled because this king was about to come.
所以这个叙利王他内心就不安了，我在这边当王，还有另外一个你们口中所说的这个你们的王要来，那这个王到底是谁呀？他要出生在哪里呀？
So King Herod was greatly troubled, and he said, "Who would this king be, and where would he be born?"
所以第四节，你看他就找了这些祭司长跟民间的文士，问了一句话。
And in verse 4, he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and inquired of them,
基督当生在何处？
And he asked them where the Christ was to be born.
那这里希腊文翻译出来的中文字眼叫基督。
So from Greek, it comes out in Chinese as Christ.
那么在旧约的希伯来文翻译出来的，出来叫做弥赛亚。那其实弥赛亚跟基督一样，它的意思是什么？救世主，人类灵魂的救主。
So in the Old Testament Hebrew, the term uses Messiah, but in fact, Messiah and Christ are the same thing, which means Savior of the world.
所以这个叙利王他就问了，那这一位基督到底他会出生在什么地方？
So King Herod asked where the Christ was to be born.
你看这个这些祭司长跟民间的文士他们说伯利恒啊。第六节对不起，在第五节他们回答说犹太的伯利恒啊。
And so they set him in Bethlehem, Judea.
那他们就引证旧约的先知书上面的一段神留下来的预言。
And they quoted a prophecy written by the Old Testament prophets.
第六节
In verse 6.
说犹大地的伯利恒啊，你在犹大诸城中并不是最小的，因为将来有一位君王要从你那里出来牧养我以色列民。
But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.
我第二个重点就是我们的神早就已经预定他要出生的地点，出生的城市。
So my second point is that God had already prophesied about where he would be born.
那这个到底神透过哪一个先知讲的这一段预言呢？
So which prophet prophesied this?
我们可以看弥迦书第五章的第二节。
So we can turn to Micah chapter 5 verse 2.
弥迦书第五章第二节。
Micah chapter 5 verse 2.
伯利恒以法他。那其实这个是同样的一个程式。加强文学上的加强语气的用法。
So verse 2 says Bethlehem and Ephratah, but in fact they are the same, so it's a reinforcement.
那么我们的根据是在创世纪，我不翻了，你可以自己看，在创世纪48章的第七节。
So in fact, we can refer to Genesis chapter 48, verse 7 in your own time.
这节经文记载说，这个以法他就是伯利恒。
So in fact, Ephratah refers to Bethlehem.
所以这个是伯利恒以法他，其实都是指的同样的一座城市，可能它的名称，当时的人名称不一样嘛，
So in fact, Bethlehem and Ephratah refers to the same city. It's just that different people at different times gave it a different name.
好像我们在台湾讲这个英国的雾都，哪里？就是伦敦了，所以英国的雾都伦敦这样意思大家懂吧？
所以台湾
重复性的强调性的用法，
所以台湾 actually London is also referred to as 雾都。
那这一段经文你可以看到在弥迦书五章二节说，这个要来以色列中当君王掌权的，他的根源从亘古从太初就有。
So in Micah chapter 5 verse 2 it says that the one to be ruler in Israel who's goings forth are from of old, from everlasting.
这个亘古跟太初都是一样，就是世界还没有创造之前就已经存在的一个情况。
From of old and from everlasting also refers to the time before creation.
所以 弥迦先知是离耶稣基督降生之前大概750年左右
so,
一个先知。
The book of Micah was written about 750 years before the birth of Christ.
所以耶稣这个神的名字是以赛亚书降生耶稣降生前800年。
So, prophet Isaiah prophesied about the name of Jesus 800 years before his birth.
那这个耶稣他降生的地点，我们的神又启示另外一个叫弥迦先知的人，他讲述出来。
And concerning the place of birth of Jesus Christ, this was prophesied through the prophet Micah.
那如果从这本圣经啊，我们所能够了解的哈，我们人哈有很多事情都是天上这个神为我们早就做了预定的。
So from the Bible, we can understand that.Many things that we think about have already been prepared by God in advance.
比如说你看《使徒行传》17章的26节。
So for example, if we turn to Acts chapter 17, verse 26.
使徒行传》17章的26节。
Acts 17:26.
那么这段经文提到说我们的神从一本造出万族的人住在全地上。那么并事先怎么样说并且预先定准他们的年限跟所住的疆界
verse 26 And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings
我一出生来到这个世界从我懂事那么我的国家叫中华民国
So from when I was born until I've grown up, the country that I belong to is the Republic of China.
那么另外一个称呼叫台湾。
So another way of saying is Taiwan.
那中华民国的百姓好不好呢
？So are the people of the Republic of China good people?
有好有坏哈。我讲不好的啦哈，我亲身经历的哈。
So of course they're good and they're bad, but I'll talk about bad experience.
我到香港去协助圣公。
So I was assisting with Holy Works in Hong Kong.
那个时候香港还是英国的殖民地，还没有回归中国大陆。
And back then Hong Kong was...
这些跟政治相关的 ，OK 吧？没问题哈。
And back then Hong Kong was...
没有批评政治了
哈。Hong Kong was a British colony.
那当初到香港只能够停留两个礼拜。我来这边，我上班哇，我可以停留六个月了哈，观光嘛，对不对？那香港当初只能够停留两个礼拜。两个礼拜后行李出去然后再进来再两个礼拜
So nowadays you can enter for six months in one go but back then it was only for 2 weeks
所以我两个礼拜到的时候他们就说哎，传道出国了
So after two weeks
我说去哪里
They said to me it's time to go where am I going
做那个他们呢从香港从这个香港的地铁站不晓得哪一个站坐到罗湖大家不晓得这个地点因为出了罗湖关过了一座河进入这个中国大陆的深圳关就去进去中国大陆了那当时香港还是英国的隶属英国的
So we took a train from MTR train from Hong Kong station to 罗湖And cross the river into mainland China, into Shenzhen.
那要出香港，要出英国的关键就是过罗湖关出去了很顺利，没有什么问题。
So when we exited the British border through Lao, there wasn't any problems.
那现在进去中国大陆，还要再填资料很多人在那边排队填资料
But then there were many people queuing to fill out the details before entering mainland China.
Okay, 那我那个。卡片拿来填资料一看里面有一栏叫做国籍你到底是哪个国家的人
So one of the particulars that I had to fill out was my nationality, so what would I fill it with?
那前面也有一个台湾人他还问我说国籍要怎么写
So there was a Taiwanese person in front of me and he asked me how to fill this out
护照拿出来看
And I said, take your passport
那护照一翻开我们的国籍就是中华民国我们就写中华民国
And on our passport, it says Republic of China, so that's what we should
他说哦，好好，那我们就写中华民国所以我们就写中华民国，因为护照上面就是中华民国嘛。
So we filled it
Republic of China.
So we filled it out according to our passports, Republic of China.
Not the people, the Republic of China.
And not,
加一个 people 就是中国了
So if you add the people's Republic of China, then it refers to the main.
那就排队嘛
And we queued up.
那我前面那个台湾人到了关口，他就把资料放送进去。
And when the person in front of me passing this,
里面那一个是一个哈，我判断应该是50岁左右的一个妇人了哈，一个女士。
So in the booth was a lady who was around 50 years old.
脸上没什么笑容啊哈，看那个海关人应该都很苦瓜啊，其实人真的很苦瓜了，对不对？这个叫什么？这个哪一个字？苦啊，中国字的苦啊。
She looked a bit miserable,
对不对？所以看你很苦啊，在这边要待了3年多，可怜啊，很苦啊。也许他不会苦的哈。看那个都没有笑容哈，他讲是棺材板的脸哈，他拿进来看了以后，他就问国籍哈，你是哪个国家的人
？So she had poker face and she asked him, "What nationality do you have?"
那我前面那一个就是说中华民国。
So the person in front of me said Republic of China.
他把证件收起来，然后呢卷起来往那个人的脸上就丢出去，
And she scrunched up his documents and threw it into his face.
讲了一句话。
And she said one thing.
什么中华民国，国不像国，你是狗啊。听得懂吗？听得懂吗？这个要懂华语的才有办法。就说 你这个国家不像国家，你就是一条狗啊。
So it is as if your country isn't a country and you're like a dog.
对我们是很侮辱的哈，真的很侮辱啊！我当初说，
And because it was a great insult, I was very infuriated.
很无奈啊。他说捡起来，捡不捡？
But then
那个里面的海关的那个女士哈，告诉我前面那个人说捡起来，捡不捡？忍辱啊，还是要剪啊！看了我吓一跳，我赶快跑到后面，再拿一张卡片写什么国籍，我就写哈中国台湾地区啊，所以我没有这个遭遇的，前面的遭殃啊，那当中华民国的百姓到底好不好？不好，从这个角度来看不好。
So it is from this a very narrow angle. It is not good to be of the Republic of China.
难道我喜欢吗？
So do you
我喜欢吗？
Did,
对不对？
Did I enjoy?
如果可以挑的话，我的国籍写英国啊，我拿英国护照，你敢对我怎么样？
So,
对
不对？ If I had a choice, I would put my nationality.
我可以写美国啊，国家可以挑，我当美国人啊，我可以当加拿大人啊。
Or I could be American or Canadian.
那你会发现哈，一出生一懂事，中华民国谁安排的？神安排的吧？武者啊。
But it was God who had decided that I would belong to the Republic of China.
所以我们要生长在哪一个时代，没有权利选择。
So we do not get to choose which era we are born into.
你要出生在哪一个国家，没有权利选择。
We do not have a choice as to which country we want to be born into.
你要出生在哪一个家庭，如果可以挑出生在英国，就挑那个什么，挑查理王子是我爸爸。
So if I had a choice and I could be born in the UK,
一辈子都不必奋斗的不是很好吗？
I would be the son of King Charles.
没得挑啊。
But I do not have a choice.
再来，男生还女生，没得挑。
Whether to be male or female, you do not have a choice.
再来，这个脸孔没得挑，不然像张弟兄这样多帅啊，对不对？如果是这个脸孔，万人迷多好啊。
Oh, if I had to choose my own looks and be more handsome.
有够难看的，没有办法，就是这样子啊。那你会发现都是在神的预定跟计划当中，是神安排的。
So we find that all these things have been pre-appointed by God.
那这个神他有权决定我将来要出生在哪一个城市啊。
So this God also has the ability to decide which city I would be born.
那早就叫他的先书记录下来，我就选择伯利恒这个城市，我就出生在这个城市。
And he instructed his prophet to record this and that he would be born in Bethlehem.
从人的角度来看耶稣。
So from the perspective of man, when we look at Jesus, a Middle Eastern person.
那如果我们的神当时选择住在这个什么，是在这个非洲的这个什么，这个赖比瑞亚，那今天我们看这个神呢，黑人嘛，对不对？他就是肤色就是黑色的。非洲人嘛，那如果他选择在美国，那他就是白种人啊。这个是人对他的认识，我们要从神的角度去认识这位神。
Or God could have chosen to be African or a white person in America, and this is all decided by God Himself.
所以这个就是道成肉身啊，是神他本身做自我的决定。
So because God himself manifested in the flesh, he was able to make his own decisions.
好，那我现在要讲跟敬虔相关的结论了，我们晓得敬虔的奥秘，这个就是敬拜神的一个什么，就是说怎么样去虔诚敬拜这位神，因为这位神是这样来的。
So now we will conclude concerning godliness and how we should worship this God.
所以我们要怎么样去敬拜他，虔诚应该怎么表现。
So how should we worship this God and how do we demonstrate our godliness?
约翰福音第四章二十四节，耶稣他曾经介绍过这位神。
So in John chapter 4 verse 24, Jesus introduced this God.
他说神啊，神是灵啊。
And he said that God is spirit.
所以今天我们拜这位神是用心灵跟诚实哦。
And when we worship this God today, we must worship in spirit and in truth.
拜神很重要的就是要内外互相配合啊！哦，心灵就是指着我们的内心的世界。
So when we worship God, our inner man and outer man must be the same.
那这个成熟，它的原文叫真理啦，如果我们用原文的角度去看，就是按照神的真理，我们去侍奉这一位神啊。
So we should worship this God according to the truth.
但是呢，除了外观的动作之外，我们的耶稣他很强调的拜神呢，拜神是属乎内心的。所以我们基督教我们基督教不是图腾崇拜的宗教哦，我们叫心灵的崇拜。
So apart from the outward our outward actions, we also worship God from our hearts inside.
我们来看两节经文。
So let us turn to two verses.
提摩太后书三章第五节。
2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5.
提摩太后书三章第五节。
2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5.
有敬虔的外貌，却背着敬虔的实意，这等人你要躲开。
Having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away.
敬虔的生活是什么？
So what is the form of godliness?
当你很奇妙地认识这一位神他是道成肉身的耶稣。
So when we know the mystery of this God who manifested in the flesh.
然后耶稣反过来说，那你们知道这位神他本来就是一个没有形象的以灵的状态存在的。
So Jesus turns around and tells us that this God in the beginning did not have form and only existed in spirit.
那你们就是用心灵跟诚实拜他吧。
And that you are to worship him in spirit.
那就像你所说的我们不单单要有敬虔的外貌，就是你的生活言行要有真理的规范。
So not only do we have the form of godliness through our outwardly actions.
但最重要的是说，也要有敬虔的实在，就是内外合一的。
So we also have to have a heart of godliness so that our insides and outsides agree with
each other. 那这个才是一个合乎敬虔生活应当要有的一个追求的方向。
So this is the direction we should pursue in pursuit of a life
godliness. 那如果只有敬虔的外貌，可是没有敬虔的内心。
So we have only have an outer form of godliness, but do not have a godly heart.
叫做行为表现很好，但是没有心心都跑掉了，只有一个虚假的外壳。那这种信仰形态，圣经说叫假冒为善。
So if we only have good acts but no heart, the Bible has a name for this kind of person, which is hypocrite.
那假冒为善的敬拜神是我们的神极度厌恶的事情。
So God hates that if we were to worship him with hypocrisy.
我们请看以赛亚书六十六章。
Let us turn to Isaiah chapter 66.
第三节。
Verse 3.
以赛亚书六十六章第三节。
Isaiah 66 verse 3.
这里我们的神提到假冒为善的人他们的祭拜在神的眼中完全都是变质的。
So this verse tells us how the consequences of one who worships God in hypocrisy.
我们的神说宰牛是为了献祭啊，可是我们的神说哎呀，这个宰牛我看好像在杀人一样啊，整个格调整个内涵都变质了。
So firstly, God says that he who kills a bull is as if he slays a man, so it means that his nature is altered.
所以我们的信仰要敬虔，就是内外可以画上等号，这个是敬虔。
So to worship in godliness means our inner and outer men must agree with each other.
再看第二个重点。
So next point.
我们请看提摩太前书六章第五节。
First Timothy chapter 6 verse 5.
提摩太前书六章第五节。
First Timothy chapter 6, verse
5. 下半节说哈，他们以敬虔为得力的门路，这个是万万不可的一件事。
So the second half tells us of people who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, and this is something that we must not do.
不是拿我们在侍奉上、在敬拜上对神的热忱，当成是跟神谈判的一个条件。我热忱敬拜你，你要给我恩典，你要给我平安，你要给我福气，这个是不对的。
So we treat our zealousness towards God as a transaction for blessings from God.
所以信仰不是拿来跟神谈判交换生活物质好处的一个筹码，不是这样子的。
So our zealousness should not be bargaining chips that we use to negotiate with God for physical blessings.
能够敬拜到这一位道成肉身的神，本身就是一种恩典，是神给我们的。
So to be able to worship this God who manifested in the flesh is in fact already a great blessing that God has given us.
所以不必要拿我们生活当中在信仰上热诚的付出，然后我们认定神一定要给我恩典平安福气，这个是条件交换，那信仰是不可以这样子的。
So we must not think that as long as I serve zealously, then I will receive physical blessings. This, we cannot have this transaction.
那么这个才是真正的敬虔。
So this is the true form of godliness.
一起来唱赞美诗16首。
Let us sing hymn 16.